Okay, so we'll continue. The next cue we're going to consider is called MM1 with balking. And if you think of a sort of life equivalent, you can think about going into a shop and whether you know, people actually decide to go in might be related to what sort of cue they see at the till. I frequently walked into a shop, said, I'm not waiting 20 minutes in the queue for, you know, one pack of gum. So some people decide it's worth it, you know, it's their life-saving heart medicine. Some people decide it's a pack of gum, it's not worth it. So as the system becomes, typically the way it works is as the system becomes more crowded, less people choose to enter the queue. An example which hopefully you guys are a little familiar with at this point is random early detection. Okay. So again, the idea is depending on the current state of the queue, you're going to start turning packets away. You're not going to accept all the packets. So, again, we can model this as a birth-death process system, but now the arrival process is state-dependent. Again, the rate of arrival is going to decrease as your state or your queue gets larger. Okay, so we'll look, you know, we're going to just pick a value for that discouraged arrivals. So we start with some arrival rate alpha, and then we just diminish that by k plus 1. So when you're in state 1, your arrival rate halves. When you're in state 2, it's down by a third, etc. We still have the same server, so we assume that our service rate is constant, mu. That's all we need. Okay. So, again, our probability is a function of P0 are times the product of the lambdas over the mu's. Okay. And in this case, your lambda is diminishing by a factor of I plus 1, so you get that in terms of the product is expressed as a factorial. So you get alpha over mu to the k, 1 over k factorial. We do our usual normalization, so sum all the probabilities to 1, or P0 is 1 over 1 plus the probability of being in some state other than 0. Okay. Again, we see that this sum is an exponential, and so we get, incorporate the 1 into it, you'll get e to the minus alpha over mu. And combining that, you get the probability of being in any given state. Okay. So, again, we're referring to that state-dependent arrival behavior, in particular states decreasing or arrival rates decreasing as states increase, as balking. Okay, so just if you see that turn, and you know, you can use any of a number of functions to express the idea of this diminished arrival rate. So there's another example we could use alpha over k squared plus 1, so you're going to start, your rate decreases much more severely with that one. Okay, again, it's not in terms of just find, you know, it's easy enough to calculate the probability of being in any given state. Okay. So, in general, infinite Qs are not a realistic assumption for any physical system. You're going to have some constraint on your total size, therefore a finite Q. Now, if that's big enough, you know, it can look pretty close to infinite, and yeah, you can use that. But if it's sort of not so big, then you actually have to consider the size of the Q. Okay, and so that becomes an MM1K queuing system. Okay. So, what happens if you have a limited space in the system? Well, if you arrive to a full system, you just have to go away. You're lost. Okay. So, a system, of course, consists of a buffer plus a server. So, the size of the buffer is k minus 1, okay, and then you have an additional place in the server. Okay, so it's quite straightforward. You get this now finite set of states, and we can write down our probability of being in any state in terms of P0, normalize it to calculate P0, and then we have all of our states. Okay, so now PK is the product, is P0 product of lambda over mu, or lambda over mu to the K. For k less than our total system size. So if you exceed that system size, the probability of being in any other state is zero, because again, we just don't have any more capacity. Okay. To solve for this, again, we're going to sum now a finite number of probabilities and set them equal to 1. And they all have this form of summing a power, something to the power of k. And again, that's a well-known identity. You get 1 minus x to the n plus 1 over 1 minus x. Okay. So we can shove in and that's from k equals 0 to n. Again, if we use our usual formula to solve for p0, bring the 1 inside the sum to change from sum from 0 to k, and apply our identity, or 1 over, and take 1 over that, then, again, we get an expression. One minus lambda over mu equals over 1 minus lambda mu to the k over mu to the k plus 1. Okay. And again, we can look at rho being lambda over mu. Okay. Now, this result differs slightly from the infinite case. What we said in the infinite case was that for stability, you had to have lambda less than mu or rho less than 1. Now it doesn't actually matter. And no matter what the arrival rate is, well, if the system's full, we're just going to dump the packet. Okay. So you can have any value now for rho. There's a slight hiccup for that in that if rho is 1, then this sum doesn't exist, so we're going to have to address it in the form of a limit. So anyway, we calculate P0. From P0 we can get our PKs. And again, we can do this for any rho, but we'll have to take a limit if we have rho equal 1. Okay, so we'd like to calculate the mean number in the system and the mean system delay, as we've been doing. And so, again, the mean number in the system, we have all of our probabilities, and so we just do k of k, p of some k, p of k. Again, use our derivative trick to try and solve out to solve that sum. Okay. And again, we can get a value for that. Okay. So we have our average number in the system, and again, we'd think, well, if you want to find your delay, then use Little's law. But there's a slight complication to that, in that if you think about all of the arrivals to the system, they're not all getting service. You know, some of them just divert away. Okay. So in order to apply Little's law correctly, we need to only account for the arrivals that are actually entering the system. And so, in particular, if the arrivals arrive to a system in state k, then they exit again. Okay. So we refer to the arrivals that successfully join the system, so find a state less than k when they arrive, as and the rate at which that happens is the effective rate, so lambda effective. Okay, and we need to calculate what that effective rate is. We have Poisson arrivals, so we use our pasta property. Okay, and so the probability that an arrival finds the system is full is the proportion of time the system is full is pk. So your arrival is successful if it's sort of 1 minus pk proportion of the time. Okay. Okay. So our delay is calculated in terms of this effective arrival rate. Okay, so we can think of lambda effective as being a measure of system throughput. So, you know, we said before, the arrival rate into the system is the throughput. But again, in this case, you can't think of everything that in the arrival process as having arrived into the system. You have to think of portions of it having been diverted away. So similarly, the load on the system is not the arrival rate over service rate, but it's the effective arrival rate over the service rate. So it has to measure what the system is actually dealing with, not just everything. Okay. So that gives us lambda effective overview. So we need, our lambda effective is going to work out to be less than the service rate, because if not, you're going to arrive to a full system. So our carried load is going to be less than 1, but again, we don't have to put that restriction on the offered load, because again, the offered load is just paired away. If it finds the system full, it's just sent away. Okay. Now, for the case where our offered load is 1, again, I said we had to calculate that as a limit, and you can use L'Hopital's rule to do that. That just says that the limit of the ratio is the ratio of the derivatives. So you take a derivative of a top and bottom, and what we arrive at in this case is that you get a uniform distribution, you're equally likely to be in any state, which is sort of interesting. Okay. So it's harder now to find waiting time distribution, because our effective load is not Poisson. Again, your load is dependent on state, and hence dependent on arrivals. Hence, the arrivals are not uncorrelated. So, we just won't do it. Okay, so just to see how we might apply these results, we look at, again, a single-channel transmission system with a finite buffer, and we say that there's an offered load of 1 erlang during the busy period, so it's completely busy, that last case that we examined, and 0.8 erlangs under normal conditions. Okay, and what we want is to keep the loss rate of the system at less than 6% during the busy period. So we want at most 6% of the arrivals coming to state K, to seek state K, or max, to see a full system. Okay. Again, we have to assume that we're dealing with Poisson processes. Okay. Okay, so we can ask what's the minimum required buffer length to meet the loss rate restriction. So that's the restriction during our busy period. And then we can ask for that buffer length, what's the loss rate during the non-busy period. Okay. So the first is actually relatively easy because we have our offered load equal to 1. We said that we had this uniform distribution on states, so the probability of arriving to see the system full is just 1 over 1 plus K, big K. And so we need that to be greater than 0.06. No, less than 0.06, sorry. And so you have 1 over 1 plus K less than 0.06, then you can solve out for K. And in this case, you'd have that one full place, so you'd have to round up to, or not even round, just go up to 16 places. Okay. Then we have 16 places. So, again, when are we going to... Okay, yeah. And your places, of course, are the server plus buffer. So if you're referring specifically to a buffer, if your buffer length is 1 less than your total number of places. So the next question is, so we now have our 16 places. Our offered load is now going to be 0.8, so row is 0.8, and what's the fraction of lost packets? Well, the fraction of lost packets is the fraction of packets arriving into state PK, or the fraction of time that an arrival comes to PK, fraction of time the arrival comes to state K, which is PK. And so, again, we have rho, we have k from part 1, and so just plugging in, you get 5.7%. Okay. So far we've looked at single server systems. And we've looked at a number of different permutations on single server systems. The next set of models we're going to look at are multiple server systems. Okay. And so, in the first, we had MM1. Now, we're going to look at MMK, or indeed, as a first cut, MM infinity. Okay. MM infinity is, again, a theoretical construct. There will be no physical realization. If you have loads and loads of servers, maybe it starts to look like MM infinity. But typically, it's used as sort of a benchmark, so you can calculate a few results for this and then compare them to other systems. Okay. So, so a physical reflection for us of having multiple servers would essentially be systems with multiple channels. Okay, so typical examples are, old examples are telephone switches. So you have a number of channels out. some finite but greater than one. Similar things happen with any sort of system where you're dividing things into channels or radio, cognitive radio systems, optical systems. Anytime you divide your system up into channels as resources, then you can, again, analyze that as a group of servers. Okay. If you have an infinite number of servers, there's never any queuing. Obviously, you always walk up and there's a server there waiting for you, so we don't have to worry about queuing. So, again, we can approximate systems with large number of servers, but also it can be used just sort of as a benchmarking exercise, and we'll see. We'll return to it later in the year. Okay. So we're assuming that we still have a constant arrival rate. So we have an arrival a Poisson arrival rate with Poisson process with arrival rate lambda. Okay. And so now instead of that's playing around with our arrival rates, we're playing around with our departure rates. Whatever state you're in the system, if you have k customers in the system, well, then your departure rate is k times mu, so any one of them can go. Okay, so again, lambda k equals k, mu k equals k times mu. The more people you have in the system, the greater the rate of exit. Just because more people, more or less, you know, any one of them can exit. Okay, so that's, yeah, again, relatively easy to solve for. Okay, just in terms of the mathematics, this is the same form as our discouraged arrival system. If we set alpha equal to lambda, that's just in terms of the mathematics. We aren't interpreting alpha as lambda or anything, just mathematically to solve. And since we already went through all the work to solve that one, we just plug in and get our solution for this one. So this gives us a Poisson distribution with a parameter A equals lambda over mu, where, again, A is then the offered mode. Okay, so this means that our mean value and our variance for the system are both A. And we can use that, again, to directly calculate n bar. N bar is A, is lambda over mu. And then using Little's law, T is 1 over mu. The time you're going to wait in the system is 1 over mu. And that makes perfect sense since you just walk in and get served. So whatever the average service rate is, that's the amount of time on average you're going to wait. Okay. So what we'll see with other systems is we'll get the averages will be the same, but the variances, the mean values will be the same, but the variances are going to be different, and again, that allows you for a point of comparison, and we'll get back to that point later. Okay. So, we were looking at infinite cues, and we already observed that infinite cues aren't terribly realistic. Infinite servers now. Infinite servers aren't realistic. Anything infinite isn't realistic. So we'll now look at the case of finite servers, so you have finite greater than one servers. And so, in our first attempt at that, we'll look at now infinite buffers. Okay, and the usual example given of this would be a call center. So you call, there's a certain number of people to help you with your queries, and if they're all busy, you just sit there and wait. Realistically, in call centers, people start hanging up, so you have bulking as well, but, you know, it's in some sort of optimal call center, you just wait until it's your turn. Okay. So we have M servers now, and so for the states 0 to M, we'll see this increase in service rate. So the more customers there are, the more the service rate increases, because, you know, again, they're all being served and, you know, can all depart. Okay. So if you're in state K, you have K customers, then your service rate is K mu. Obviously, that stops when you hit M, so your service rate exiting M is M mu, but for state M plus 1, your service rate is still M mu, because you still only have M customers getting service. Okay. So, again, we can write that down. Lambda k is lambda, so lambda is constant. Mu k varies up till state m and then stays constant at m mu for any greater k. Okay, so, yeah, we can do the same thing we keep doing over and over again. We can write down what our probability pk is. In terms of P0, sum all the PKs and set it equal to 1 to solve for P0. Okay. Now, we do need to split our problem into two along that state barrier, since obviously something slightly different is happening. Again, your rate is increasing up to M, and then past M it's staying constant. Okay. So if you take the product, it's, you know, two products. Okay, so we can again work that out. You'll get m factorial term from your first product and an m to the k minus m from the second portion of your product. Okay. And so combining our two ranges together, so k less than m and k greater than m, we get values for each. Now, our offered load has to be less than the total capacity of the servers. Okay. So we now have rho lambda m over mu has to be less than 1. So if your arrival rate is greater than the capacity of all the servers combined, obviously you're going to get into the state where you grow and grow and grow. Okay, so sum all of our probabilities together, pull the one into this sum, and invert that, and you get your value for you get your value for P0 by manipulating that. Okay. And so you get this somewhat complicated sum. You have your finite component, your infinite component again. You can pull out m, the m over m factorial, and then sum your rho, actually sum rho k over m. Okay, so doing that again, you'll get an expression. Okay, so it's a bit messy, but it cranks out in the same way as all the other ones have. Okay, and so typically for these sorts of systems, people are interested in what's the probability that an arrival has to wait. Okay, so what is the probability that somebody arrives to a full system? And again, we can use our pasta property to say that that's the probability you're in a state greater than or equal to m, the system is in a state greater than or equal to m. Okay, so once it hits m, it's just, all your servers are in use, and so you're going to have to wait. Okay. So you can express that as a sum of pks, or bring it back to p0. Each pk is a term, is a function of p0. And then we've gotten an expression for p0. So we get this somewhat complicated expression. Okay. It is a finite sum, so you can actually grind it out, but it's tedious enough, and in general people won't. Okay. This equation is known as Erlang's C formula, so the same guy who brought us the Erlang unit also brought us this set of equations. And I haven't looked into it, but apparently he predates Markov and all this theory about Markov chains, so he managed to derive this, but without, sort of from first principles, not appealing to any of the Markov results. Okay, so it's a pain to calculate. Fortunately for us, people have already gone and done it, and typically, if people were querying this, they would look at a table, and the table relates three quantities: the number of servers, so each one of these curves the curve for a fixed number of servers. And for that fixed number of servers, it relates the probability of delay to the offered load. So, just to look at an example there, if we have a number of input channels, so they're just going to offer a load, we can consider an aggregate rate from all of the channels, and they're being concentrated into output channels. And typically the idea here is you have a lot of low rate channels going into a lesser number of high rate channels. And so we'll buffer the traffic and send it out on the channels as they are free. Okay. So we have each of the channels at an arrival rate of 300 packets per second. We assume that our packets are exponentially distributed in length, and therefore the service is Poisson.
Okay.
If we assume we have an infinite buffer, then we can ask how many output channels, so how many servers do we need, so that we have a 2% probability of delay, so a low probability of delay. So our arrival rate is the arrival rate over all of our channels. So we have 120 of them. So we have 3,600 packets per second. Our service rate is just the transmission speed divided by the packet size. And so that gives us 6,250 packets per second that we can transmit out on each of our channels. Okay. So lambda over mu will give us rho, our offered load. And so we have 5.765 air long. Okay, so obviously more than a single a single server could handle. If you had infinite servers, again, on average, you'd be keeping 5.76 of them busy. Okay, since we have finite servers, we have some sort of probability that we'll have loss. So, what we want is less than 2%. I'm sorry, I should have said loss probability of delay. And so if we go back to our graph, if we just look at 5.76, it's about here, and go up to our 2% or 0.02 delay, then you need more than 11. And so just, is that 11? Yeah, it's 12, isn't it? Okay, I can't read it on the screen. Okay, so you need more than 12, just under 13 channels, but you can't have a fraction of a channel, so you're going to need 13 channels. Okay, so not sure why we get 12 there. Have a look again. Oh, okay, yeah, it is actually between 11 and 12. Sorry, I can't see it on the screen, but if you go look, it actually is between 11 and 12, so you go for the high one, 12. Okay. So another example, another possibility is that we have what's called a multi-server loss system, So instead of have queuing in the case of in the case you arrive to a full system, in this case you go away. And the typical example for this was from telephony. Again, your telephone switch, you had to reserve your resources end to end, so if they weren't available, you just didn't get your connection, so you went away. Okay. And a lot of telephony is based on making sure that you have at least a good chance of getting your connections. So we have M servers, but now we have no queue. Okay, so you either get service, so you get your resource, you get to transmit your packet, or you go away. And so again, this is sort of just a truncated case of what we had before. So we have an constant arrival rate. Once we hit our maximum number in the system, so everybody, all of the system resources are in use, then everybody else just has to get lost. In terms of service rates, it is again going to be state dependent. The more servers are actually in use, the higher the rate of service. Okay, so again, it's a little bit easier to write down our probabilities now, since they're zero for k greater than m. Okay, so solving for p0 is evaluating our finite sum from 0 to m, and this gives us a value for p. Once we have p0, we can get the value of any pk. Okay, so it's going to be lambda over mu to k, k factorial times p0. Okay, so just this is a sort of minor note. This is often referred to as a truncated Poisson distribution. So again, you get the pKs are of this Poisson form up to m, but then of course they get truncated. You can't go beyond that. So in order for it to be a distribution, you have to normalize to get your sum to 1. Okay, so again, what's we care about for this sort of system is what's the probability that our arrival is going to arrive to a full system, hence be lost. So again, we can appeal to the pasta property, and now the arrival arrives to a full system if it's with probability PM. Okay, so this is usually referred to as your blocking probability. Okay, so again, this was originally derived by Erlang, and it's useful in circuit switching analysis, where again you either are allocated a resource or you're blocked, and it's referred to as Erlang's B formula. Okay, so again, we relate our probability of blocking, our offered load, and the number of the number of servers that we have. So here, N would be the number of servers, A would be the offered load, this would be our probability of blocking. So all we've done here is set land overview equal to A. Again, it's a bit painful to calculate, but it's all been done for us. So we have another set of graphs that give us this relation. Okay, so again, for each number of channels, resources, you can relate the probability of blocking to the offered load. Okay, so, and again, just we'll wrap up with a very quick example. And so this is exactly where it applies. So you have a switch in a telephone exchange, and for circuit switching, you require that 99% of all calls attempted should be accepted. And of course, you can't say anything about that unless you know what load you're going to offer to the system. Okay. So, we'll look at our busy period and see during that period what's the offered load to the system. Okay. So we assume that we have 130 during our busy hour. We assume that we have 130 calls on average, and we make some estimates. Yeah, we know the duration of the calls, and we assume that there's an exponential distribution to that duration. Okay. So we can then ask how many lines are we going to need to have a probability of blocking of just 1%, okay, and not greater. So what we have to do is calculate the offered load. Lambda's 130 calls per hour. And mu, we have to normalize our units either into minutes or hours. Here we normalize everything to hours. So mu, if we have each call lasting 3 minutes, then we could serve 20 calls per hour, okay, on average. Our offered load then is lambda over mu, is in this case 6.5 erlangs. And so we can again go attempt to look at our chart. We have 6.5, and we follow that up to 0.1. And we get between 12 and 13, so we're going to need 13 lines. Okay. So that's it for today. Again, we've looked at one set. The essentially results are all of a piece. We're looking at Poisson arrivals, Poisson service, and again, various flavors within that. next time we'll branch out to looking at other distributions besides Poisson, and then look at combinations of queues as well as just sort of examining a single queue. So that's it for today. Again, enjoy your weekend, and I'll see you guys next Friday. 2 weeks. Yes, thank you. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. So I'll put something up on the website about that, on Loop.